do the best for you, because the fact is that everybody has their unique situation. Everybody has, you know, their own things. But if you're not happy in a place, if you're not feeling fulfilled, if you're not feeling satisfied, you know, it's probably a time to change. That doesn't mean you have to change careers. Maybe it's just time to change job environments, but it's time for change. And don't be scared. Be courageous, because you might find something amazing after that decision. So,
welcome to the Hired Hub podcast, your ultimate guide to mastering the complexities of remote work and pushing your career forward.
Whether you're tuning in from the busy streets of Latin America or any corner of the globe, we're here to give you tools and insights to succeed in today's dynamic job market. I'm your host, Gaby Morales.
And I am your co-host, Jess Torres. If you're a recent graduate eager to leave your mark or a seasoned pro looking to redirect your career, you can join us as we explore the endless possibilities of remote work and career growth.
Get ready to unlock your full potential with the Hired Hub podcast.
The days of graduating from university and settling into a single job for the rest of your days are long gone. It's now more common than ever for people around the world to have several career changes on their resumes. According to the University of Queensland, Australia, Gen X and millennials on average may go from 3 to 7 careers before they retire, and this number may be more like 5 to 7 for the current and upcoming workforce like Gen Z.
A career change is more than shifting from one job to another. It means jumping into a new type of work altogether and even switching into a different field or industry. So why it's common nowadays, and how does that determine or affect the chances we have to find the perfect job for us?
Today, our conversation revolves around embracing change and flexibility, balancing stability and growth during career path changes, and those essential aspects to consider before diving into the uncharted waters of a new career.
And our guest, Daniela Morales, has already gone through a couple of those changes herself. So if you've been playing with the idea of shifting gears in your career, you're not alone. And this episode is just for you.
Before we formally introduce Dani to today's conversation, I think we can definitely draw from our own experiences. For example, I shifted from journalism into digital marketing a couple of years ago during the pandemic, and I haven't looked back since. Have you had a career change of your own, Jess?
Yes. Well, I can tell you that I also did social communication and journalism. And then I started in this world of digital marketing, and I just fall in love with it. And so, yeah, that's a little bit of my switch. I always thought I was going to just do social communication and focus on the organizations. But here I am. According to the U.S. Chamber of e-commerce, there are several reasons as why people decide to change career paths nowadays post-pandemic. One is just to align their skills to thrifting industries that allow them more room for growth or progression. Another reason is to pursue remote offers that allow for better work-life balance and that are not high contact. And a lot of people see that. Another reason is to pursue a better pay and or more fulfilling work, just that some people like feeling better there, or to pursue opportunities that are not degree limited and actually more skill oriented. So Gaby, I want to know, why did you decide to change career paths?
For me, I think that I was doing journalism during the pandemic, and journalism in those days was very dark. Honestly, the news at that time were very dark. It was a lot of, you know, COVID cases, all the recession that occurred, all those consequences from the COVID pandemic. Like, I feel like it was too much for my mental health. And since I actually did study mass communication like you, social communication, I decided to switch to something that was lighter and actually was thriving in that area. And in those moments, like digital marketing, like the moment where people could no longer go out and promote their services traditionally, that's when digital marketing actually had a spike. It increased, and I saw it as an opportunity where I could thrive in a new industry that was lighter and that was, you know, having a bigger success and that didn't have such a big toll on my mental health because I didn't have to. I could avoid sort of that situation of constantly knowing about COVID cases and deaths. And, you know, it was very hard. So for me, that's what drew me towards that career change. It was harsh because I studied social communication. I started mass communication to be a journalist. And, you know, sometimes life just has other plans for you. It was hard to take that decision. But like I said, I've never looked back since. I love what I'm doing now. And I'm very happy. I think it was the best decision for me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. And you're definitely right. Life can have different plans for you. And it's okay if you make a change. It's also okay having to switch, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's time to introduce you to Dani Morales, or Daniela Morales. Her story is nothing short of inspiring and yet common tale of the modern workforce.
She graduated in business management and since then has embarked on a journey that led her towards the realms of education and most recently, project management.
Dani has been able to pivot and reinvent herself professionally. And her experiences not only showcase the power of adaptability, but also shed a light on the potential of remote work in today's constantly changing job market.
She is passionate about problem solving, communication, and strategic thinking, and leverages her skills to drive success and innovation wherever she goes.
Dani, we're very, very happy to have you with us today. So how are you feeling about this conversation?
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me today. I'm very, very excited about this conversation and just, you know, getting on top of the topics.
Awesome. Thank you for being here today, Dani. Like we mentioned before, you studied business administration and actually pivoted into teaching for a while. How did that background influence your approach to project management? Like, were there any unexpected overlaps in skills?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like everything that you learn in your life is very transferable if you think about it, right? When I started teaching, it was because it was basically one of my first jobs. And, you know, I was in college and I needed to get some extra money aside from what my parents were being able to give me. And, you know, I needed an extra income. So I've been bilingual since I was a child. And I was given the opportunity. I was offered the job of, you know, giving classes out. And I was like, yeah, why not? And it turns out that when I was learning to teach, I learned that even teaching requires a level of organization. It requires a level of, you know, studying timelines and everything. Because, of course, when you plan out a class, you need to organize the subjects. You need to, you know, think about the best method to get your students to learn something. You think about what should come first in a sequence for your students to learn the best way. So without knowing it, you know, I had my first skills regarding project management. It was only years after when I started looking back that I noticed that that was actually my first experience, because every class or every topic that I was teaching was sort of, you know, managed as a project per se, or every course that I was giving out, you know. So, you know, that's where I started out.
It all led you there.
Yeah, definitely.
And I can say that Dani is such a great teacher. Just by her explaining everything, I remember her explaining ClickUp to us. It was just amazing. I could focus with her, which is really hard sometimes. So girls, did you know that a career changer, it's actually an established term? Like that meaning, of course, it's self-explanatory, but I found a lot of information actually talking about why career changers can be attractive for recruiters and business owners. And I found two things. One, it's that they tend to have new ideas to solve old problems, since they can see things with a different perspective. So they are used to different environments. So I can see how that works. And the second one is that they are usually more open-minded, since they tend to have less preconceptions about business or industry. So I think that was something really interesting to talk about. And also this last part that you've chosen, Dani, like project management, you've carried it a lot of fully remote. What are some advantages that and challenges, we can talk about both of them, that you've encountered in transitioning to remote work environments, like both professionally and personally?
Oh, like, wow.
And cons.
Yeah. For starters, I can definitely say that term that you just used, that is career changer, I can totally relate to what you just mentioned about being open-minded regarding problem solving and, you know, just transferring information from one segment to the other. I feel like that describes a lot how my mind works, because, you know, across all that, when I look back and I check out all the three big roles that I've had in my life that has been teaching, business management and now project management, I see that many of the things that I learned teaching, I actually applied in business management, and a lot, like, 80% of the things that I learned in business management, I apply in project management. So, you know, there's a lot of transferable things that you can shift from one career to the other. And that's definitely me. And this open-mindedness has really, really helped with this part of working remotely. Because, you know, it's such a huge change. You have to adapt yourself in so many ways to this new form of work now. Like, for example, when I used to business manage, it's a whole lot easier when you have people in the room and you have to explain something that is going on. And I feel like it's a whole lot simpler when you get to see what the teacher, what the trainer is actually explaining, because they have their hands, they have their whole body language to explain something new. And the same thing happens when you're, you know, managing a team. You have so many resources on the physical side, and on remote, you're kind of limited on that aspect. You have to rely on effective tools. You have to rely on Zoom. You have to rely on, you know, tools like Miro or tools like ClickUp, you know, to get your audience to understand what your point is. You get your point across. And that happens even when it's training, like with ClickUp, like Jess said, or when it's, you know, handling projects per se, and you need to explain it across a point from the client. So it you know, it's been challenging. At the beginning, I remember I could only handle like 5 to 6 hours, because that's another thing. Nobody talks about the many things that come with sitting on a chair for 8 hours or 9 hours, you know, depending on your work, on your workload. It's crazy, because if you are a person that likes to move around, it's very, very tough for you, like sitting down 6 to 8 hours. So I remember that at the beginning, it was really, really difficult for me. I could only handle like 5 to 6 hours because I got bored. I needed to move around a lot. And then as time went by, I learned that there are techniques for you to focus. I learned that there are techniques for you to move also, and that you need to take like short breaks for your body to get, you know, accustomed to the fact that you need to be sitting a lot of hours. But yeah, it's been a journey. Definitely it's been a journey, but, you know, it's been great also. You have a lot of perks. So that's the good part. That's the awesome part.
One day you can teach us those tricks.
You mentioned something that really, I don't know if we've taken the time to really talk about that, the nonverbal communication, how important it is, the paralinguistics, and that when you're stuck in front of a computer and then you only have the camera, which is, if you have it on and only takes into consideration your face, you can't use the rest of your body language to really communicate. And, you know, it's written communication is a very unnatural form of communication for human beings. I was just talking about this yesterday. Whereas, you know, written communication has been around for maybe 2,000 years and we're still fine-tuning that. The human being depends on other kinds of communication that are more intuitive for us that actually you can't always bring towards digital work. So it's definitely a challenge at the beginning. And like you said, for me, it was also challenging, like having to only depend on being able to write or text or having a Zoom call every once in a while. It was very challenging. So I can definitely get you there. And then you also have other cons, like you say, those blurring boundaries between work and home life, where it's very hard to set, to focus properly. So it makes all the sense in the world that those are like very real struggles for anyone that's looking to change from a physical job to a digital world. If on top of that you're also doing a career change, it can be so straining. Like, it can be such a jarring process. I feel the first time it happens, it's so new that you're just going through the motions, but changing careers nowadays, like we said before, is more of a pattern for our generation. So I guess you eventually pick up on some cues along the way. And you, Danny, like you've mentioned, you've had, I think this is your second career change. So I'm curious to know about your point of view. Like, in your previous experiences, when did you know it was the right time to change paths?
Yeah. You know, something I love about this generation is that we're not so much of going through the notions. I think that our parents came to this world and they were taught by our grandparents that they needed to find a stable job. They needed to buy a house. They needed to have kids by the time they were 30. They had like a roadmap, you know? They had like a set roadmap. And I think that this generation, yeah, they knew exactly what they had to do. It was like a set roadmap. And this generation has broken the mold in so many ways. We've said, no, if this doesn't make me happy, I don't want to go through with it. If I don't want to have kids, if I sit down and actually determine that I don't have the capacity or that I just don't want to have kids, I'm not going to have them. If this is a job that is no longer making me happy, you know, I'm not a tree. I don't have to stay here if I'm not happy. And I think that's actually what happened with me. And this is a mixed feeling kind of situation, because I've always known that I wanted to manage businesses. That's my core. That's what I knew. I remember being like, I don't know, 10 or 11 and my mom asking me like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I was like, I want to be a business manager. Because, you know, that's cool. I want to manage businesses. I want to have restaurants. I want to have supermarkets. I don't know. I thought it was really cool. And, you know, it was that same situation that led me to studying it at the university. And it was fantastic because, in fact, I loved it and I'm great at it. I managed businesses for quite a while and I felt like I was, you know, I was a fish in the sea. I was really, really, I felt like I was good at it. But there was a point that I felt like it was becoming a bit frustrating, because at the time I was managing two different businesses and it was a whole lot of work. It was a whole lot of work and responsibility. And I noticed that even though I was getting a lot of satisfaction by being the person that helped out with the decision making and being the person that helped out solve administrative problems, I felt like I was given the responsibility at the time to also manage a few projects that were going on at the shop. And let me go into this a little bit more, because this was such a huge career change for me. I used to work at a shop that repaired cars and that restored cars, like very, very old cars, like from the 60s. And they took like very old cars, they tore them apart, like broke down the car up to the nails. Imagine that, up to the nails. And then they restored every single piece, mechanical and physical, and then put the car back together and sold it, you know, for a whole bunch of money. And it was a very, very interesting job because, you know, it's not that common. It's not that common. You can see a whole bunch of supermarkets, not so much restoration shops. So it was really, really interesting in that sense. And in between my functions, I got the role of actually following up with these projects, that every single car was a project. And you had to follow up with everything that was going on. If it was in the initial phase, if it was in the mechanical phase, all the steps, you had to follow up with that and be able to talk to the client and inform them about what was going on. And I noticed that that was a part that I really, really enjoyed, like a lot of it. I enjoyed it being on top and just seeing how we could take something that was really, you know, old and not so pretty and turn it into something beautiful. You know, there was a piece of, it was a work of art. It was something that people paid a whole lot of money to have. So you took something that was cheap and kind of ugly, and you turned it into something beautiful and worth and very worthwhile. So I thought that that was a fantastic thing. And I pretty much loved that portion. And some people that were really close to me, including my sister, who's awesome, she started telling me, like, you're a project manager. You're managing those projects, like, from the initial phase to the ending phase. And I was like, well, explain to me, what's a project manager? And she was like, well, project manager, you know, they kind of take the project from the initial phase and they follow up with everything that's going on. They manage the teams. They build timelines. They follow up with budgets. She explained everything that had to do with project management. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I'm pretty much a project manager. So that was one of my functions back then. And when I started noticing that I wasn't completely satisfied with the work that I was doing in business management, I was like, okay, if I had to change careers, what path would I choose? And I was like, okay, I definitely like managing projects. I like something that has a start and end date. And, you know, I like following up with everything that is being constructed. I'm going to go for this. And when I started studying it, and I was like, yeah, this is definitely the career change that I need. And, you know, I just went for it. And thank God I found a company that was willing to give me the opportunity to try it out. And here I am a year and a half later, happy being a project manager. So it was good for me.
Yeah. And as you were saying at the beginning, like, our parents had a different point of view of life in general. So I think it's definitely very personal to each individual. Actually their own line of work and interested. So I think it depends. It's like every person has their own world or mind. And I think maybe when you're not feeling challenged or fulfilled by something in your work, or perhaps you've outgrown your current role, I think that those are kind of like the feelings that we have. Like, okay, probably I'm not happy here. I might start doing something that I can learn more, but that's something that I'm good at. Also, you have this gut feeling that accompanies that moment of clarity about your career path, or I don't know, you just have to trust your instinct when it comes to make a change in life, not just in career path. It can be really scary, really uncertain, because of course, it might be something that you've never done before, but sometimes it's just worth the try. Moving from stable roles like teaching and administration in the real world to the uncertainty of project management in the digital landscape requires courage. How did you manage the fear of failure during this transition?
Oh, wow. I think that's something that you don't really get over, regardless of the position that you have or the role that you have, because, you know, everybody has their own insecurities. Everybody has their own, even if you've been working at the role for like 10 to 15 years, and you know that you have a lot of experience, I'm guessing that you're still going to be asking yourself, what if somebody comes along that knows more than me or that has more experience in that section than me? So I feel like that that can affect you in different ways, definitely. For me, the fear of failure comes a lot like hand in hand with the fact that maybe you're not as experienced as you wish you would be. Because, for example, for me, I was managing businesses for like 4 years before I decided to change careers to project management. And, you know, it's a pickle because you come in like very green. You don't know a lot of things. So, you know, that fear of failure is always going to be like there. Like, what if somebody else that has more experience comes along? But I know, I think I mitigated a lot just, you know, surrounding myself with people that know more than me.
Oh, that's a great tip.
Yeah, I surround myself with people that know more than me, that can teach me, that have the will to teach me. And that's something else that has been very fantastic. I have a mentor. I have a person that has taught me a lot, has taught me the things that I cannot learn in a course or in a school. He's taught me the things that I need to learn, the street stuff, you know, because there's a lot of things that you don't learn in a course. There's a lot of things that come with experience, that comes with, you know, having chats and dealing with clients and dealing with teams and a bunch of things. And I've had the opportunity to work with this person for the past year, and he's been great. He's been a great teacher. So I feel like that helps a lot mitigate that fear of, you know, of it going sideways.
And shout out to Werner Krull. We have an episode, I think it was episode 6 or 7 with him. We're also talking about, you know, just work environment and everything. He's just such a great mentor. So shout out to him. If you guys haven't heard that episode, you should go and look at that list of episodes that we have and just tap into that episode too as well as soon as you finish this one. I was doing research, you know, based on this podcast and everything, but I was doing this research and I saw an article from Forbes about 5 common career change fears. And it refers to failing as the first one. Actually, sometimes our mind is our worst enemy and we sabotage our best opportunities to thrive just because we're scared. This fear regularly is associated to the experience of shame or embarrassment. And it's said, and I quote, "We worry so much about feeling humiliated and disappointing others that we give up on attempting to achieve our dreams." It really reminds me of what you were saying previously. Nowadays, I feel like these generations just have so much more courage. And it's not to say that previous generations don't. But nowadays, people are just like, I'm going to do that change. I don't know if it has to do with that delusion that we see a lot of times on social media, where we see like, we have to be delusional in the sense that we have to really believe in ourselves. And sometimes our fears don't allow us to do so. So this article suggested an exercise, which I loved because I am so pessimistic sometimes. And I feel like this exercise is so like objective that it really helps you overcome that fear. It says, on a piece of paper, in one column, write down all the worst case scenarios and be as specific as possible. Like, you have to be, I feel it's part of letting your imagination roll. Like, not because you have that fear and you avoid it, it goes away. Like, maybe you have to tap into that. You have to really play along and really imagine what those fears make you feel. So be as specific as possible. And then in a second column, write down what you can do to minimize the likelihood of those worst case scenarios happening. And then even so, in a third column, you detail how to get back on track if the worst case scenario did happen. And then on a final column, you rate how likely that scenario is on a scale of least to most likely. And the exercise is supposed to put your fear into perspective so you can realize that those outcomes are unlikely, and most importantly, that even if they do happen, they are manageable. Because I feel like sometimes we don't do things for the fear of failing, but really, what's the worst part that can happen when you fail? Sometimes you just gotta, you know, get back up and move forward. Like, a lot of things are manageable. You can really succeed after failure. And actually, the most successful people are people that usually fail a lot because they're just willing to try.
Yeah, they expose themselves. That is so true. And, you know, something that is very, very fundamental is understanding that you're probably going to screw it up the first times.
Yeah,
that's definitely true. It's allowing yourself the permission to understand that you're going to screw it up. When you're learning something new, even if you take all the courses, even if you have a mentor on your side kind of telling you, okay, this is what you have to do and everything. You have to find your own pace. You have to find your own rhythm. And the fact is that finding your own rhythm takes time and you're going to mess it up in the meantime. And that's okay. It's giving yourself that, okay, it's okay to mess up. It's okay to screw it up. What's the worst that's going to happen? I just change careers again. You know, if I try something new and I'm not good at it, I can just change careers again. It's no big deal. It's like, why not? Exactly. Why not? And, you know, it's most of the times what ends up happening or what I've seen with my friends that change careers, like very, very constantly, is that at some point they find something that they are truly amazing at. And the fact is that a lot of people live their life, you know, just going through the motions or doing stuff that doesn't make them happy. And you have to try a lot of things till you finally find something that makes you truly, truly happy. That's probably not going to come the first or the second time around. It could. I mean, if you're one of the lucky ones that at the first try you got it right, then that's great. That's perfect. But if that's not your case, you're not a tree, you know, you can move. Move to something that makes you happy. And if that doesn't make you happy, move to something else till you find that one thing that truly makes you happy. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be spending 8 hours every day, 5 days a week. You know, it's a whole lot of time that you're going to be spending. Like when you sum it up on your whole lifespan, it's going to be a lot of time that you're going to be spending working. So find something that makes you truly happy.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Danny, what strategies have you found most effective for staying resilient and flexible in the face of career changes? Like, what tends to be that light at the end of the tunnel when you're going through the rough patch of changing from one career to another?
Wow, this is a really good question. I feel like when you're starting something new, when you're starting a new career path, it's very, very easy to find challenges. It's very, very easy. And you have to make a plan. You have to truly make a plan. And you have to understand that that plan is going to take some time. It's not going to be, you know, you're not going to be as successful in something that you've been working at for 5 or 6 years, that you already have the experience, that you mastered the learning curve. When you're learning something new, it's going to take time, you know? And I think that that for me has been one of the biggest challenges, understanding that it's going to take time. And what I mostly do, or my biggest strategy, is sitting down and working the plan. When you're changing careers, you need to make a plan. You need to work a plan, or plan the work, better said. You need to plan out what you're going to do. You need to estimate how much time that's going to take you, and, you know, research a lot about how much time it could take you to settle down on a position or on a role. You need to figure out the steps that you need to have, or what the market is looking for inside that role, and, you know, do a checklist of what you have right now and what you're missing for those positions that you're dreaming of. And after you have that information, you have a timeline, you have your objectives and everything, you need to stick to that plan. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be challenging, because sometimes you're going to feel like you're not getting there fast enough, because, you know, we're also a very anxious generation. We want things like for right now. That's part because we have social media. Yeah, we have social media going on, and we feel like everything is, you know, yesterday. I want it snap, 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 fast. And the truth is that great things take time. So when you're feeling desperate, when you're feeling like something is taking too long to come, remember that you have a plan. That you have a plan, take a look at that plan, review that plan, and, you know, go back to your roots, understand why you're working on that. Focus on the goal. You want that position. You want to be making those figures. You want to be working on this, this, and that. And that takes time. So focus on that. That's my best advice and strategy. That's what I try to apply.
I like that phrase, focus on the goal, because I personally think that the plan could change sometime. And it's okay, unless you're focusing on the goal. Also, I think that cultivating a growth mindset, it's really important, because sometimes there will be ups and downs, different challenges, but those are opportunities to grow. And I think also what you said before, that we were talking about having a strong support work, it could be peers, mentors, or friends, or someone that can offer you guidance, encouragement. Sometimes it's really important. And embrace the uncertainty. I know it's so hard for us. We were saying we want everything right now, but there is an article by the Harvard Business University, and they were saying it's called The Upside of Feeling Uncertain About Your Career. And it talks about how that uncertainty can be your biggest competitive advantage. Since it opens you to possibilities, you can learn to read the right signs. It can pivot your defining career, make you more adaptable, and live purposefully. So I think it's really comforting. And if you're in that stage of unease and regarding this important decision in your life, as Danny was saying, just take it every step by step and make a list of what you need to do. Also, I feel it's very important to be as conscious of this decision as possible. So I think it's important to look at the possible aftermath of changing careers. Danny, so specifically, how do you think that a change of career path impacts your chances in job application?
Oh, wow. Also a good question. Definitely, you need to be very, very cautious that you need to be very conscious that and understand that your odds of getting a good job when you just change careers and you don't have experience is hard. You know, those odds are difficult because, yeah, you're going to be competing with a huge market of people that already have, you know, certifications, that have years of experience, that have a whole bunch of things going for them. And understanding that it's going to be a bit harder is crucial. Understanding that it's not going to be as easy. And the worst part is that you start looking for jobs, or you start a job search, and you put in a bunch of CVs, and you're going to be getting, you know, job offers on what you're currently working on. Like what you've been working for like 6-7 years. For me, it was, you know, business management. I regularly get a lot of job offers, or with some regularity, regarding business management. And, you know, it's like a temptation because you're like, okay, maybe I'm not getting the job offers that I want as a project manager, but I'm having a bunch of as business manager. And it's like, that's not the road that you want to go into. So it's a temptation, you know, it's a big challenge. But it's also about understanding what doesn't work for you anymore and what makes you truly happy. Because if what you want is a career and what you're currently working with, if you notice that that satisfies you, then you don't have to do a career change. But if you decide to change your career because you're actually not satisfied, then those temptations go, you know, on the side. You really don't tend to pay a lot of attention to it because you're focused on the change that you want to do. It's a lot of focus on the goal, like we were just mentioning. But yeah, you do have to understand that at the beginning, when you have zero experience, job offers are, you know, a bit lower. You have to work for them a little. And it's also about planning, because like I mentioned a moment ago, when you're going to do a career change, you need to create a plan and notice what the job or what the market is actually asking for in that new role that you want to, you know, cruise yourself into. And if it's about getting certifications, then you can prepare yourself and get those certifications while you're still working on your current job. You know, it's about having patience and planning yourself for that change, because it is a big change after all.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it has its pros and cons. Like the positive side of applying as a career changer, like Jess mentioned, it's a term. It's that it showcases your adaptability, the resilience that you have, and the willingness to learn. Like there are qualities. Those are qualities that many employers highly value. Like a lot of people are looking for that. And second of all, being a career changer, it brings fresh perspective, like we said before, and diverse skill set to the table, which can be an advantage in industries that are undergoing rapid changes or disruption, like marketing, like project management, all those fields. Like they really leverage and benefit from career changers, from people that can actually provide a different perspective on things. On the negative side, and I feel like it we can't stress about that enough. And it really aligns to what you were just saying, Dave. At the beginning, you're going to lack experience. So that's going to be the disadvantage that you're going to have. You're going to lack credentials, like in your new field. So it's very important that you emphasize on those transferable skills and use that as your edge and highlight relevant experiences that demonstrate your ability to excel in the role that you're applying to, even if you don't have experience in it. Even if it's not immediately apparent in your resume that you may be the right person for this job that you know you haven't done before because you're just changing careers. So I feel it's very important that, again, not because you're changing careers, it's going to get easier. But it will get definitely. Better. But it will tend to get better. Like, you're going to have a different set of problems, or not even problems, but a different set of circumstances that you're going to have to overcome. So you have to acknowledge that you're coming into a field where there's a lot of advantage from other people, and you just have to know how to promote yourself based on those transferable skills that Deej was just talking about at the beginning of the episode. That's your edge. That's what makes you unique. Our show is coming to an end. But before we do so, Danny, what words of wisdom would you give to someone considering a career change but hesitant due to concerns about, you know, their financial stability or job security?
I would definitely say to sit down and put it on a balance. Put on a balance what makes you happy. Put on a balance your financial situation nowadays. Put on a balance your expertise. And also put on a balance what this current job is giving you and versus, you know, the possibilities that you have for a future and your mental health, of course, because that's something else. Sometimes jobs take a toll on you, on your mental health and everything. Sometimes you need a change of environment and a change of, you know, focus. So put that on a balance, check out your pros and cons and make a decision that you're satisfied with. And when you have concerns or when you're not exactly sure why you changed careers, go back to that balance and ask yourself again. Review those notes that you made. And, you know, do the best for you, because the fact is that everybody has their unique situation. Everybody has, you know, their own things. But if you're not happy in a place, if you're not feeling fulfilled, if you're not feeling satisfied, you know, it's probably a time to change. That doesn't mean you have to change careers. Maybe it's just time to change job environments, but it's time for change. And don't be scared. Be courageous, because you might find something amazing after that decision. So just be courageous.
Oh, thank you so much. I really think that's really important for everyone to hear. And I also think that if you're thinking of changing your career, that it's probably beneficial for your well-being. Think about the skills that you also have. Look at previous work experiences and studies and evaluate how you can transfer them. Also, just don't leave it on, just like without, don't leave your job without a financial cushion, because that's really important too. You can just rely while you're job searching and just be prepared. Be prepared as a junior to be treated like a junior again and just learn as much as you can as you humanly can possibly. So thank you so much, Danny, for all of this words of wisdom that you have given us.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Absolutely, Danny. A huge thank you for being our guest today.
So your journey, it's truly inspiring, and I'm sure that our listeners have gained valuable insights from our conversation today.
Yeah. Thank you to our listeners for staying with us till the very end of this episode from The Hired Hub. Remember, we have new episodes dropping every Tuesday on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts.
Whether you're a business owner exploring remote work or a job seeker navigating the remote job market, remember, the future is filled with possibilities. Don't forget to follow us on social media through Hired Remotely's LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok account. This is Jess.
And this is Gabby. Until the next time.
That wraps another episode of the Hired Hub podcast. We hope you found today's discussion empowering and insightful. Remember, success in the world of remote work is within your reach, and we're here to support you every step of the way.
Be sure to subscribe to our podcast for more expert advice and engaging conversations. Please give us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify to help us reach more people who can benefit from the Hired Hub podcast.